The everlasting love of God is like a river, always flowing, always moving. God's love has its rise and wellspring in the heart and the sovereign will of God Himself. It is literally the river of His good pleasure, the streams of goodness which flow from the origins of God make up His good pleasure, which make glad the city of God in heaven and on earth. Our love to Him has a beginning in time, but it will have no end. The everlasting love of God flows on through eternity without a beginning or an end. Revelation 5:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto whom that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I'm Social Porter, and this is Outposts, a semi-live broadcast from the late evening cascading banks of the Ocklawaha River, where the trees gently lean over the river's edge and every evening is absolutely pleasant. Thanks for joining me for cool jazz and contemplative conversation. The everlasting, sweeping love of God has invaded us this evening, and we've been washed away in weeping joy and singing obedience. What an amazing thing to gladly have such a fire burn a hole right through everything I think is important, and to be reduced to realizing the living God is everything I'm looking for. It is amazing. Let me just say before we pause, God's love is everlasting in its duration, unquenchable in its height, immeasurable in its depth, and the application of His love brings all things spiritual and physical into alignment. Now, buddy, that's some powerful stuff right there. When God shows up, all things stand down for the coming forth of the King. Keep your peace and let the stress of your day just drain out the soles of your feet. And I'll be right back. The everlasting love of God is infinite, like an ocean without borders, boundaries, or a shore. It has no left side, right side, top, bottom, front, or back. It is infinite. It is unchangeable, a sea which is always at full tide. It is unfathomable in its depth and unsearchable in the mystery of its grace and choice. Paul prayed that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Ah, all the fullness of God. To look in the eyes of God is to fall endlessly in love with Jesus, into a love that's deeper than blue, in the dreamy deep of bottomless love. That dreamy deep of his bottomless love is the same everlasting love which was in the heart of God, giving momentum to all his amazing attributes. All his gifts and blessings are outworkings of his love. Jesus is the Christ, the gift of God. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift from God. Friends, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Lord testifies of his gift in saying, "He who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" The everlasting love of God rose spontaneously in himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, and without any worthiness from us. In Christ, the anticipation of becoming and overcoming does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. There is nothing in our persons or in our works to call God's love towards us, yet he loved us, not for what we were, but in spite of what we were. Paul could never forget the miracle of Christ's sovereign love. He hunted and persecuted the early New Testament church. He spoke of himself as the chief of sinners, then marveled that the Son of God should love him and give himself for him. And yet, God loved Paul. He wrote in Titus 3 of how the kindness and love of God appeared to men, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Self-important is being important in and of yourself without God. Self-acknowledging is being acknowledged without God. Self-confirming being confirmed without God. The common thread in those is the word self and the phrase without God. But with the Lord, the God of everlasting love, there is confidence which is righteous, righteousness being a rightness of character which only God himself possesses. With God comes intrinsic importance because he is important, because he loves us with an undying love. He includes us in his importance. Jesus was confirmed by the Father, And because he loves us with an everlasting love and lives in us, we are confirmed. Jesus, the manifestation of the everlasting love of God, consented before the foundations of the world to redeem us who believe on his name, the people of God. He united himself with the nature of the flesh, and yet was sinless, that he might come near to us and dwell with us, and that he might be a true husband to us in all love, kindness, and friendship. He is committed to our welfare and our relationship with him. His love literally keeps us, for we are his and his alone, and that is keep in the sense of a man who tends a garden and makes it fruitful and profitable and healthy and strong, not in the sense of keeps you fenced in like a prisoner. Do you get it? In John 17:6, Jesus prayed to the Father, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me." In his everlasting love, God found his people ready to perish forever in the cruel, relentless grip of sin and death. He knew we had the sentence of death in ourselves. He proved his love by his willingness to suffer and willingness to give, drawing near to us. For love seeks to be near the object of its affection, and we are the object of the affection of God. He willingly brings to us his counsel of peace without reserve. Psalm 63:3. Your loving kindness is better than life. Well, today, again, God comes near to us and says, "Live," and we are alive in him. Whatsoever God says becomes reality. If he spoke it, then it is so. As he gave love to us, we are enabled to love as Jesus loved. He drew us out from among the dead, out from the thick dark with ropes of love. We can sing with renewed hearts, "Draw me away, I will run after you. My King has brought me into his chambers. I will be glad and rejoice in you, Lord my God, and I will remember your everlasting love more than wine." To see the love of God trampled underfoot makes water run from my eyes. For to know him is to love him who first loved us and died for us. We shall not fear, for there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. It bears saying again. We love him because he first loved us. Do you know the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ? Do you know the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit? Do you know he is with us to the ends of the earth? And I mean really, really, actually, actually, do you really know it? Not just something said so we can sound all spiritual-like. Not so we can look good at church, making the posture of a face that says, "Bless God and praise the Lord." But deep in your hearts, you know that he is with us to the ends of the earth. How odd that we tell people, "I know that God is with me to the ends of the earth," but the moment something challenging comes along, we are suddenly in the corner crying, saying, "God doesn't love me. He's not near me anymore." How can you flip a switch like that? Do you really know it? What's your epistemology? Do you really know it? And be honest. Come go with me to the mountain of the Lord. Inhabit all your space in safety and in the thick, everlasting, extravagant love of God. Come, let us know beyond all doubt, fear and ignorance, the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of Christ, which is infinitely beyond our knowledge, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Do you believe you can know that and be honest? Is the validation of our love, because you know John 15:13 says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, there are more than a few who possess a Medal of Honor. If I'm not mistaken, it is the highest award that an American soldier can receive. The award was created somewhere around the period of the Civil War. Since then, I think more than 3,000 have been presented, and since World War II, half of that number has been presented after the soldier died. They make the ultimate sacrifice by laying down their lives. Of course, they didn't mean to be killed in action or as a result of the horrors which occur in war. Nevertheless, they gave themselves for their country, their families and friends. Did the surrender of their lives, although it was an act of beautiful valor, did their actions actually confirm that they had the love of God? Not necessarily. In 1 Corinthians 13, the use of the word love is meant as the love of God, not just friend or familial love. Not just love as being endeared or as in the love of anyone for someone else, but the implication is more. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Here, the willingness to make sacrifices for others, even to the extent of death, is a necessary but not sufficient condition for possessing the love of God. Even more is required. Romans 5:6-7. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. What do you say? Who is this king to you? In a world so seemingly devoid of solid hope, peaceful solutions, rife with vagueness and confusion, would you be willing to take a chance with God? How good can you imagine life? And however good you can imagine it, the love of God can eclipse even your best idea of good. And think about it. I'm Sosha Porter, and this is Outposts, an evening of contemplative conversation and cool jazz. I hope I've widened the scope of hope in this conversation concerning the everlasting, compelling, transforming love of God. A little bit. This program was brought to you by Living in His Name Ministries, Kevin, Perry, and Tommy of the Mebane Freedom League, Hilltop Boots and Shoes on Fleming Street, and Elisa and Betty of the Opportunity House out Highway 25. Naturally, we'll never exclude our friends Jeff and Karen at Trinity Bakers, makers of cakes, pies, and dainties of culinary delight. The best bakers in town, where there's always something good in the oven. Music was by the Pete Minger Quartet. Andy McKee, Phil Keckey, Miles Davis, and Les McCann. All music use is licensed by BMI. As usual, drive carefully, watch out for the other guy, and pray for your neighbors. Let Jesus rule your heart with all His love. Romans 8:37-39. Yet, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's time to go for the evening. Step into life, be cautious and audacious at the same time. Be brave, ask God what you will, and fear not. I'll talk to you next time. Amen and amen. Thank you.